From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Although a number of Alaska's fisheries have collapsed or are otherwise under threat, some of the people most deeply involved in fishing advocacy believe that recovery is not just possible but necessary to the well-being of our communities and our planet. KCAW in Sitka recently held a one-hour forum on the future of fishing, and the three panelists all found reasons to be hopeful that continued research, traditional knowledge, and historical perspective will all play a role in charting a path to the future. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Harvey Kitka is a lifelong Sitkan whose father was a commercial seiner around the time of statehood, when fishermen were paid by the fish rather than by the pound. His grandfather seined prior to the arrival of hydraulics and pulled the weighted webbing by hand. As an indigenous Alaskan, Kitka has one foot in a millennia-old subsistence tradition, but both eyes on the future. He's uniquely positioned to bring deep perspective to policy decisions, and he's been no stranger to the testimony table at the State Board of Fisheries. He is an advocate for rebuilding Southeast herring stocks.
I think one of the first satellites that took pictures of the Earth at one time took a picture of Baranoff Island, and it just happened to be a time when the herring were spawning. And it was really shocking to look at that picture and see that around the whole island was white with herring spawn. And now it's just Sitka Sound, basically.
I mean, I would say the future of fishing depends on a fair measure of humility, really.
Linda Benkin is the executive director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She's been on both sides of the policy table, having served 9 years on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
We all fall prey to thinking it all started when we first arrived, and that becomes our baseline. And I'm not just talking about herring, but that I think that happens in a lot of arenas. And so if you start managing a commercial fishery, and this is the abundance, and you know, as you said, we're looking at the fourth highest, that seems huge, right? Because it's the fourth highest. But if you have Harvey's perspective and you have seen what herring stocks might have been back before the herring reduction plants, a really different baseline.
Benkin draws parallels between Sitka Sound herring and the crisis in far western Alaska. Only 5 years ago, the region's commercial fisheries appeared robust. The rapid change demonstrates just how short a five-year window is.
I'm thinking a lot about what's going on right now in the Bering Sea with crab, with salmon, where we've seen these huge population crashes, and what that's meant for the people who depend on those resources, whether they are the subsistence people of the Yukon or the commercial crab fleet that's just lost everything. The system's changing, but there was a long time of people depending on those resources watching things change with glacial kind of timing of receding and advancing and, you know, but adapting. And now we're, I think, managing as if we're in this little time slot. We're not thinking enough about the past and not thinking enough about the future and what the changes might be bringing.
Heather Bauscher chairs the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee and has become a recognized face at both the Board of Fish and North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Bauscher represents a younger generation of Alaskans equally concerned with community sustainability and the fisheries. The future that Benkin and Kitka are talking about is her future.
We're not in the position that they are in out west, but if we can't get a handle on some of these threats to the resource, like, we very much might be in a position like that down the road.
Bauscher believes it's possible to bring a new level of data to the policy table, something more than graphs and charts that go no farther back than statehood. Scientists tend to rely on things they can count, but so much of the observable world is full of information that's been impossible to quantify. Bauscher is helping spread the word about an app called Skipper Science, originally developed by the Aleut community of St. Paul Island, that exponentially expands data collection in Alaska's fisheries.
So each year we've done this, all these observations get standardized and become part of this report that we can hand off. And we finally successfully proven to the different agencies that fishermen are capable of collecting this data and upload, and it becomes part of a data set that NOAA is going to be using to do full ecosystem analysis of the Gulf of Alaska, which is also pushing management towards ecosystem-based analysis and giving local fishermen a direct hand in.
When everyone who fishes has the ability to contribute information to fisheries research, Alaska's policymakers will have a far broader perspective to draw on than they do now, and perhaps more courage to act for long-term benefits. This will be a full-circle moment for Harvey Kitka, who has never needed an app to understand the natural world and how best to manage it.
The only thing that man controls is what we take. And if we don't keep track of what's happening in the natural cycle and try to adjust ourselves to it, we'll be hurting ourselves in the long run.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The United States Secretary of Commerce has approved 6 fishery disaster designations for the state of Alaska. That includes the Yukon Kuskokwim and Chignik salmon fisheries for last year. Crabbers will also see relief for this year's Bristol Bay Red King Crab and Bering Sea snow crab fisheries. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced this fall that both fisheries would remain closed for the season due to low population numbers. Alaska's congressional delegation applauded the disaster approvals in a joint statement Friday, December 16th. Gabriel Prout is a Bering Sea crab fisherman from Kodiak. He owns the fishing vessel Silver Spray with his family. He says there's still uncertainty in the fleet about the road ahead, but Friday's announcement is a big step forward.
Definitely brings a little bit of some type of immediate psychological relief that they're working and taking this disaster seriously and what the fishermen are going through.
Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers Executive Director Jamie Goen said in an email that the trade group, quote, looks forward to Congress acting swiftly to appropriate the necessary funds to help America's fishermen and coastal communities weather these crises and to fund research to help avoid them in the future, close quote. Researchers say they aren't certain what caused the snow crab's population collapse, which led to the fishery's closure. But they believe climate change was a factor. Changing ocean conditions due to climate change are also likely contributing to salmon declines in parts of western Alaska. Congress still needs to allocate funding for each disaster designation, and fishermen have to apply for the financial relief. The process often takes years to get money to skippers and their crews.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The last story was courtesy of KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth, who also contributes the following. It's been nearly 3 years since the deadly sinking of the fishing vessel Scandies Rose near Sutwick Island off the Alaska Peninsula. Now pieces of the ship have started washing ashore, bringing closure to some family members of the crew members lost.
7 men were on board the Scandies Rose when she went down during stormy weather in the waters off Sutwick Island near Chignik on New Year's Eve 2019. 2 survivors were plucked from the water in the hours after the vessel sank by Coast Guard rescue crews, but 5 crew members were never found and presumed dead. Those included the ship's captain, Gary Cobbin Jr., and his son, David Cobbin, both from Kodiak. Jerry Cobbin Kanagan is Gary Cobbin Jr.'s sister. She says in the years since, the family sent a remote-operated vehicle down to the seafloor to survey the wreckage.
And so I have a whole video of the boat on the bottom with the pots, and the buoys had popped up out of the pots and made like a kelp forest of buoys.
The ship was en route from Kodiak to fishing grounds in the Bering Sea and stacked with nearly 200 crab pots when it sank. Now those buoys and other pieces of the ship have started washing ashore. Kanagan says her family was contacted earlier this month by a fisherman from Chignik who found 2 buoys and a bait tow. He flew them back to the family in Kodiak.
That was just such a heartfelt moment to know that this fisherman, he recognized for what they were, and then he didn't have Facebook, so he used somebody else's Facebook page to get in touch with me, and then I met them here in Kodiak and picked them up, and that's just like, thank you. I can't thank them enough for that.
Kanagan says they've received some of her brother's personal belongings from storage yards in Kodiak and Dutch Harbor over the years, but finding something from the ship was different.
When I touched those buoys, it was like getting a hug from my brother. It was pretty emotional moment.
A report from the National Transportation Safety Board later concluded that inaccurate stacking instructions, particularly in icing conditions, for the ship's crab pots and more extreme weather than predicted, likely caused the Scandies Rose's sinking. The NTSB made a series of recommendations to multiple agencies based on its findings. Kanagan says she plans to reunite washed-up items from the sunken vessel with the family members of other men who went down with the ship. Her brother was colorblind, so the big buoys from the Scandies Rose are lime green for him to pick out on the sea. They have the letters SR written on them in black with the ship's fish and game number 35318. There's also smaller buoys with the fish and game number on them that may float to the surface.
Some of those are the trailer buoys. Some of those are red and some of those are white.
She says anyone who finds something they think is from the ship can find her on Facebook and send her a message or contact her via email. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.